welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm Ryan Burns of GopherDigest.com, and we welcome you to this fourth episode somehow. So appreciate everybody who's come along for the ride already.
All right, Ryan, let's focus on kind of your niche. Let's talk about recruiting. We've talked very little about that at this point. It's early still in the recruiting cycle in some respects, right, because February is still a few months away. But let's kind of look at this class as a whole right now, and let's start offensive line, because that's been obviously a big focus and where they've had a lot of wins so far.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So as most fans know who are probably listening to this podcast, Minnesota has done extremely well on offensive line this year, and it's headlined by Scout 300 offensive tackle Sean Foster. The four stars out of Illinois. His father is actually in Iowa. He played at Iowa during his career. And it's curious and interesting to me that they never offered it. Iowa has something crazy like 230 offers they extended. You know, I mean, not all of them are committed. I mean, committable at this point. But it's just curious that a kid as highly ranked as that and with as much athletic ability as he has that they never offered. But, you know, what Kirk Ferentz does and is really important to us, he's probably on the way out here. So, you know, the Gophers were able to go in. You know, Lime Grover went and saw him in the winter last year during January as he was already down the offensive line. He was able to start building that relationship, and it really paid dividends this spring as Foster and his family came up on an unofficial visit during the spring and just wowed him. And I mean, Foster's told me numerous times that was the big, huge point. I mean, he was driving back and he was like, you know what, Dad, this is where I want to be. And
sure.
He eventually committed about 10 days later because they wanted to make sure. But, you know, Foster's a big kid. He's 6'8", 6'9", 295 pounds. He played at 270 last year, so he's already put on 25 pounds since then. So he's starting to fill out that frame. I saw him at camp. He didn't camp there. He was just there coming back from the entire weekend there. But he's a big kid, long arms, very athletic. And I think he's going to be a lot like Jonah Persig in the respect that he's going to need 2 years, two, 3 years to get his frame to where Lime Grover's going to want it to be, just maxed out athletically and get strong enough, as those long arm kids sometimes have issues with upper body because the arms are so long. But, you know, Foster's definitely the key guy. And then the three other ones are all in-state kids. And you know, Minnesota's done really well with those in-state kids. Is that, you know, offensive line is really the one position that Lime Grover can go to and say, you know, we do have quality Big Ten linemen here, and it's and it's shown. It's headlined for the in-state guys by Sam Schluter. Sam, you know, he had Wisconsin and Iowa offers before he eventually committed to Minnesota. So he's a big athletic kid. I mean, we've talked about it before on this podcast. He's very athletic and very nimble with his feet. Again, I remember a good friend, Ryan James, calling me after seeing Sam play basketball. He was like, holy cow, for a kid who's 6'6", 270, he moves so well for a kid of that size, and his footwork, just even in the post. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Pitino would like to use some of that post work with Bakari and Gaston. So.
Sure.
He's very athletic. He's very nimble for his size. Again, it's just going to be about getting him up to 290 pounds, 300 pounds, as he's currently about 270, 275. So, again, he's a guy who I think is eventually going to be a guard here. Most of his film shows how good his footwork is. You know, he pulls a lot for his high school, and he does very well, and he excels at that because he's got a little bit of a mean streak.
Sure.
And the guy that I actually like a lot out of this group, who's actually the lowest rated by scout.com right now, but he won't be for much longer, is Connor Olson. Connor's from Monticello, Minnesota. He's a kid who came and he camped about this time last year at Minnesota. He was 6'5", 240 pounds. And Minnesota told him, hey, we really like what you did today. You know, it's just, you're 240 pounds and we can't really justify offering you at that kind of a weight. And he's like, you know, he took that kind of as a challenge, and you know, a year from then, so today he's put on 45 pounds in 1 year, and it's good weight. I mean,
wow.
He set the squat record at his high school. I think he's very close to 600 pounds, which is absolutely absurd. And you know, his bench is very good. He's about 330, so he's a very strong kid. He's very athletic. I think he could probably be the most athletic guy in this class. So, and he plays with a mean streak, and it's fun to watch. I remember seeing him, like I said, last year at camp, and even though he was 240 pounds, he was moving guys 270, getting in their face, and that's what you want. That's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need a guy who's got a mean streak on the interior offensive line there, and that's probably where I project. Probably where I project Connor at this stage. He's 6'5", not huge to be on the outside, but I think a guard spot would be very, very good for him. And then last, but certainly not least, is Chask, is Matt Cagle. Matt was at that same camp along with Sam, and Matt and Sam were actually offered that day after the junior elite camp. So Matt's a kid who has some maturing yet to do with his body. He's 6'5", 305 pounds. And you look at his frame and you're like, there's some baby weight still there that I think that once he gets under Coach Klein for a year or two, he can get a little bit stronger in that upper body. He's a kid who has a very long arms for a kid who's 6'5". So I think that he's going to need some work in the weight room before he can really start to contribute. But again, this offensive line class is, it's tough for me to not say that, this is probably the best that Lime Grover's recruited.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that Minnesota's, historically done well the last couple of years, and it looks like that trend's going to continue for this 2016 class.
Right. It seems like with Lime Grover, he's seemingly gotten better and better recruiting linemen as the years have gone by, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Persig was big, and then, some of these other guys have panned out better than maybe expected, and now they're hitting really, some pretty highly rated guys that project pretty well.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, they started with Perzik, and Perzik is finally getting to that stage where I know fans wanted him to have an immediate impact, but from where he was and playing in Blue Earth, Minnesota, to immediately transitioning to Big Ten football is quite a step. I mean, from each class, mm-hmm. you have Connor Mays, you have Quinn Oslin, who I've heard a ton of good things about, you have Tyler Moore. I mean, Minnesota is recruiting these offensive linemen that are coming in and really challenging in their freshman and sophomore years, which is really unheard of for traditionally, offensive linemen take the longest to develop because they need to get that strength, get that, just understanding of the scheme. But, Lime Grover's done such a good job that these guys are coming in ready to play, and that speaks volumes about the competition in the line, which, I mean, as you know, elevates each other to do better. And that's why you're seeing guys like David Cobb rush for so many yards, is this offensive line, has done very well in the last couple of years.
Do you think too that they are succeeding in the recruiting offensive linemen due to their success running and even just their commitment to running the football?
I think that plays into it some. Obviously, offensive linemen love to probably run block more than pass block, and knowing how much the Gophers run block and how well they've done at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something that these guys take into account, and they've seen how well the lines have done. And I think ESPN had an article projecting, or it was BTN or ESPN, saying that, Minnesota has, the best offensive line in the Big Ten West. I mean, it's obviously the Gophers use that in recruiting and say, hey, come join us, be the next, group that comes and brings us back to the Big Ten West in this BTN article or whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, run blocking to some extent, but also, you look at this group, you have four Midwest guys. And obviously fans know that the Gophers play in, late October, November, December. It's cold. And it's tough to recruit a guy from, Texas, like a Tyler Moore, if he doesn't like the snow and the cold, because they got to be physical and win those battles up front. I mean, that's why you saw the Gophers almost beat Ohio State, is because they didn't want to be there in the cold while the Gophers embraced it.
Right.
So, I mean, they're all buying into the scheme, and I think you can actually tell.
Right. All right, let's transition from the guys blocking for the quarterback to the actual quarterback. So they have one commit right now. I'm going to butcher his last name, so I'm going to let you take it. I think it's Tony Poljan.
Yep, Tony Poljan.
Oh, man, home run for
look
me.
Look at you. Yeah, look at you. Yeah, Tony's a kid who is extremely athletic. To give fans a little bit of a backstory on Tony, that was actually a great article by MGo Live that I retweeted today on Twitter. It speaks volumes about Tony and his family. Tony wasn't allowed to play sports until the age of 12 as to not develop bad habits. He started playing quarterback as a freshman in high school, and he'd never played it before. He only played safety to that point. And his sophomore year was actually his first time ever really having a full season of quarterback under his belt. So, you know, it didn't go as well as he thought. He had more turnovers than touchdowns, and his coach and him, you know, really looked at that and was like, what can we do better? And they really embraced that going into the last year's season, and obviously Tony did extremely well, led them to the state championship game, and eventually lost to Bryce Witham's team. Bryce Witham was a 2015 kid who signed, who's a tight end there.
Sure.
So Tony accounted for over 50 touchdowns, and the kid is extremely athletic. I'm excited to see him live on Saturday. He's 6'6" and a half, 6'7", 230 pounds. You know, he had multiple MAC level, you know, basketball offers. So, you know, he's a very good athlete.
Sure.
And the one thing I've heard from, you know, some people close to the staff about Tony is what they like so much is that he is kind of raw. And that's exactly the kind of guy that Dabrowski wants to work with, is because he may not have, you know, the mechanics set and all the footwork set and his mindset. And so Dabrowski can really start molding that once he gets here, and even as soon as Saturday when he's here camping. So, you know, some quarterbacks get coached up so much in their, you know, early years to where they really develop bad habits, and it's hard to break. And when they do break them in college, you know, it takes them a full year to learn things, and it just slows the development. Whereas a guy like Tony, he's learning so much on the fly in the last, you know, even 12 months per se. So it's easy for them to mold him to what they want him to be. Mm-hmm. And for a kid who runs as well as Tony, who has a frame and is athletic, I mean, even seeing him, seeing some video of him at a camp, Sound Mind, Sound Body, from earlier last month, I mean, his form from last season is completely, it's just, he's learning, he's developing, and that's exactly what I want you to see. I know Till's actually kind of nervous, and he even went on Sin Dave and said that, you know, they have a really good quarterback locked up, and they're hoping they can hold on to him. So sure. I know Kill's nervous, a little nervous about holding on to Tony, but I mean, his parents have. Tony has actually been here since Wednesday, and we're recording this Thursday night. So Tony will be here through Saturday. And I know today he spent the day with Carter Coughlin, so I don't think he has any plans to go anywhere. Tony is not an early enrollee, just like Demery wasn't. So.
Sure.
He's not. He won't be here in the spring, but he'll be here in the, you know, in the summer. So, I know that Tony was a guy that I identified very early on. I think he was about the second or third quarterback offer that was put out there.
Sure.
So Dabrowski's seen him live more than a few times, and he glows about him. So
is he more of a dual threat guy, or is he going to be more of a drop back passing kind of quarterback?
Obviously, he'll be a little bit dual threat, as that's just Minnesota's offense with his own read option. But I think, I mean, would he prefer to stay in the pocket? Probably. I mean, I've talked about it with a couple people close to the program, and the comp of Ben Roethlisberger is perfect for Tony. I mean, I'm not – again, before I get some tweets saying, why are you comparing him to one of the best NFL quarterbacks this year? It's just that Tony was a very good athlete, kind of, Ben was a very good athlete coming out of high school, went to Miami of Ohio. And, you know, he's very raw. He's very athletic. And if he can start to, you know, realize some of that potential, you know, I think it's something where he could have maybe even higher upside than Demery does. And that's saying a lot because sure. Demery is, you know, I've heard a lot of good things about him so far this summer. So I'd say he's more dual threat. I think his tape shows that he can outrun some guys. He's a very long strider. So I think, would he prefer to stay in the pocket? Probably, but I'd say he's more athletic than Mitch Leidner, though.
All right, let's go to a guy that's maybe going to catch balls from Tony and Phillip Howard, another local product out of Robbinsdale Cooper. He projects, I mean, at least, you know, on Scout or any of the sites, it looks like he projects as a wide receiver. Do you see him playing there?
Yeah, I saw Phillip live at camp last month. He worked out primarily at cornerback, and he worked out some at receiver. From what I've heard since that camp, I think the staff looks at him as more of a receiver at this point, but it still is up in the air. Phil is extremely explosive, and that's evident from even watching his highlights. He's a kid who's going to run easily in the high 4.5, so he's probably a 4.5, 4 kind of a kid. at 5'11", that's pretty good, especially if you can find him in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very explosive on his cuts. He's got good hands. And he's another guy who's kind of similar in the world of a Jeff Jones, where I'm comparing their jump cuts as to he can stop on a dime, really make a guy miss, change direction on a heartbeat, and that's where he lives.
Sure.
And that's where he's going to make his hay. So I probably project him more at receiver, just like you said, after talking to some people close to the program. I mean, again, defensive back not out of the question at this point, but I think his skill set is more suited on offense. I think he can probably be, you know, a KJ May type guy in the slot, run some good routes, catch balls over the middle, and really get guys at the speed. So, again, I think he's probably a receiver. Defensive back's not out of the question, but he's a very explosive athlete and a guy I'm excited that's staying home here in Minnesota.
Sure. Okay, let's transition to the other side of the ball and start with JoJo Garcia. He was obviously the first Minnesota commit in this 2016 class. And, you know, obviously a big kid. He's been in the news a little bit lately. Well, maybe not him specifically, but his school having to drop some games due to ineligibility stuff. So let's talk about JoJo a little bit.
Yeah, as you said, I'm sure fans know by now that Eastridge had to forfeit. I believe it was all their victories from last season, maybe even the season before.
Sure.
Because the head coach was giving because one of the players was living outside of the district, and that happened to be, well, sources have told a couple of news outlets around here that I was JoJo. So the head coach was giving JoJo's rides to the school and whatnot or something. Don't quote me on that, but, you know, like you said. JoJo was the first commit of this 2016 class. It was destined from early on. JoJo really wanted to stay home, and he's another four-star kid that, you know, I hope makes it. He's a kid who's 6'3", 270 pounds. I've seen him in person. He's a big kid. I would be surprised if he's not six, and he's got a little bit of an afro on the top.
Yeah.
Maybe that adds to it, but I'd be surprised if he's not 6'4". So he's a kid who knows how to play with leverage well for being someone who's that big. And that's something hard to do with a guy who's 6'4". He's a strong kid and he has a motor going all the time. I mean, if you're a kid who can play with leverage at 6'4" and have a motor, schools are going to take notice. And obviously that's why, you know, Michigan State offered so early on, which is uncharacteristic for them.
Sure.
So the Gophers are very excited that he's staying home. He's got some work to do academically. That's been said. And, you know, is there a chance he doesn't make it? Potentially. I mean, it's so far off, obviously, with February being, what is February now? 7 months away?
Something like that.
I think so. Yes. So, I mean, there's 7 months for him to do a lot of work. Is it doable is going to be the question I get next. Yes, it's doable. Yes, there's a chance. So I think it's going to be Minnesota or it's going to be, you know, somewhere else. Probably it would be Minnesota if he does go to Division I, or it would be a JUCO. But if I had to bet right now, I'd say JUCO, you know, JoJo makes it and is a part of this 2016 class because I think that the work he has to do is doable and I think he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously, anytime you can get a four-star, you know, kid 6'4", can play with leverage, has a motor, and is physical, and he's somehow from the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
He's someone the Gophers had to get, and they did. So, it's a very good get at this point.
All right, let's move back to linebacker and start with Carter Coughlin. He's kind of been the prize recruit that's gotten a lot of headlines locally, kind of the ringleader of this class, it seems like, too. Obviously, you know, very highly ranked. His measurables are just off the chart. Just a big get for Killen Crew.
Yeah, I'm sure we could probably do an entire podcast on Carter Coughlin and just the different things he's done for this class and
right.
How well he's tested and how well of an ambassador he's been. But as you said, I mean, there hasn't been as good of a linebacker come out of Minnesota since, you know,
who knows?
I don't want to get maybe James Laurinaitis.
Sure.
I mean, he's that kind of a talent. I've seen him live multiple times. You know, he's a definite top 100 kid. He's 6'3.5", 6'4", 215 pounds. And he's just so explosive, and that's what the colleges loved out of him. I mean, you watch him in space, he's able to keep up with these, you know, fast running backs or wide receivers because of that speed. Mm-hmm. He's got great length. You know, he's just what you want out of a kid. Yeah. I mean, he's got a great character. He's got a great set of parents, obviously. I mean, he's a kid who could have gone anywhere in the country. I mean, he still gets calls from schools like, I forget where he told me. I know it was Auburn and a couple other SEC schools still calling him saying, hey, come down to camp. You'll have an offer. We'd love to have you. And he's like, yeah, well, that's cool and all, but I'm good with being a Gopher. So,
yeah,
I think he's a kid who's obviously going to have a shot to play right away when he gets on campus because he is, you know, explosive. He is very good at reading the defense. I mean, I encourage fans to go watch his highlight tape and even watch just 1 minute of it. And what I want you to watch is see how Carter, you know, uses he lines up a defensive end and he comes, you know, from a linebacker spot and watch him read the gaps. I mean, as Gopher fans know, you know, linebacker is all about reading the gaps and knowing where the block's going to be and you got to run through that hole, obviously meet the ball carrier. So, I mean, he does a very good job. Once he sees the hole, he commits to it, he explodes through it, gets leverage under the offensive lineman, and he meets the ball carrier in the backfield. And so it's just fun to see a kid like that, a top 100 player in the nation, stay home. And I know Cheryl's cannot wait for him to get on campus. So
sure.
You can't ask for more out of Carter.
Yeah, all right, let's stick with a very familiar Gopher name, and this being Thomas Barber, another linebacker. He's out of Robbinsdale, Armstrong, right? So
yep.
he's you know, about 6 feet, 235, but he'll be on the defensive side of the ball just like his brother Dom.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas has been – I mean, how many – so we have Marion Barber, you have Dom Barber. I think both of them have said throughout the years that, you know what, as good as we were, Thomas is going to be the best. And for sure. Thomas, I think his best days are definitely still ahead of him. He's a kid that if, you know, you were to stand next to him and look at him, he looks like he's about, I'd say, you know, 15, 16 years old. He just has that baby face. He has that, you know, he has a lot of maturing to go yet into his body. You know, he's 5'11", 230 pounds. I mean, I've gotten, I've talked to some people around the program like, hey, have you ever thought about potentially moving him to the defensive line because of that? Because he is so big. And they're like, you know, probably not. Probably just going to keep him in mind. So it's tough to get a really good evaluation on Thomas. I saw him last year at camp, and he was battling some turf toe. And then, you know, his junior film is pretty good. I mean, he doesn't have the sideline-to-sideline speed. Yet, it's just, I think that while you'll look at the tapes of whatever this 2016 class comes to be in February, and Barber's isn't going to be, you know, the most spectacular, but I think once he starts to, you know, grow into his body and really start maturing, I think he could be one of the most, you know, one of the special kids from this class, as it always seems like, just like I'm just saying. You know, the Barbers come in, not the most highly rated, not the most highly thought of.
Yeah.
By the time they leave here, it's like, well, you know, he's a 3-year starter, all Big Ten, and he's going to the NFL somehow.
Right.
So, you know, again, I'm feeding into that persona that, you know, I'm downplaying the Barbers, and I hope that, you know, he's the third one to come through and do that. But, you know, at this point, he's got a lot of maturing left to do into that body. But I think, again, once you get in here with Coach Klein, anything is doable.
All right, let's talk about these last two defensive backs. They happen to be twins, as far as I understand. And the Gophers,
yep,
again, hit with brothers, you know, having the Mays brothers. And, you know, it seems to be like a trend. Is that something they're trying to do, or is that just pure luck?
I would love to say that they only like to recruit brothers and or twins. But you know what? If I said that, I'm sure I'd get a few good tweets about it. But, yeah. So you have Elijah and Elijah Daniels, but they're just – so it's the same name, just spelled differently, which I'm trying to think. If they're at home and their mom is, you know, mad at one of them and she yells Elijah, which one comes? Because
sure.
it's legitimately the same name. But, you know, I digress. So, but, yeah, Elijah and Elijah. So these two are just a little bit different from the commits that usually Jerry Kill takes. And what I mean by that is they're two kids from South Florida who have not been to campus yet, who committed, and, you know, the Gophers took it. And that's really out of character for Minnesota, especially Jerry Kill, as Kill usually likes to get them on campus first, have them see everything, get to meet them, know what kind of person they are. And it's really beneficial usually for both sides, as the coaches get to see what kind of kid he is, and the kid gets to see the campus and the coaches and really think, is this the place where I want to spend the next 4 to 5 years? But, you know, the Gophers took it.
Sure.
I think a huge part of the reason Minnesota accepted their commitment is because Tracy Claes was the one who actually extended the offer. I think it's well known here that Tracy Claes, defensive coordinator here, is one of the best defensive minds Minnesota's had here in a long time. And anytime he sees the one who sees them live, it's obviously a kid that I don't think Hill's going to say, you know what, no. I think we want to get him up here first. So Elijah is, we'll start with the cornerback one, E-L-I-S-H-A, Elijah. He's a kid who hasn't even played a full season at cornerback yet. So that's going to be, interesting to see how that goes this fall. So he primarily played receiver coming all through high school, and he transitioned to cornerback this past spring. And that's when Clay saw him, and he was, 6 foot kid, physical, long arms, good speed, supposedly ran in the 4.4s at the pit camp. So, anytime you can get a kid 6 foot, 185, runs well with good length, I think Savell can do okay with those kind of kids. So, and his brother Elijah, E-L-I-J-A-H, is a safety, and he's going to be the one who's actually going to be camping here this weekend. The corner Elijah broke a finger in his hand, I believe, so he won't be camping. But the safety, he's a kid who's you watch his film, and it's fun to watch because he punishes people from the safety spot. He comes downhill with a lot of aggression, and shows in his highlights. As it reminds me a lot of Antonio Johnson, Demarius Travis, and
okay.
It's fun to watch. So I think these two, it's going to be interesting to see if they stick. I know that they're, I've heard from a few sources here that, there's going to be a conversation from the Gopher staff to the Daniels twins this weekend about, their commitment status, saying, hey, if you still want to take these official visits like you've said you want to, we need to get on the same page here, because if you're going to go take officials, we're going to keep recruiting like we're going to get four and not two.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what their comments are coming out on Sunday. If they're firm 100% Gophers now, or if they still have a little bit of hesitation. They're committed right now, and the Gophers would love to keep them. But if they still have some hesitation, expect the Gophers to, continue to ramp up their recruiting efforts, and like they're going for four defensive backs this class.
All right, let's talk a little bit about these camps this weekend and this barbecue. So if you can briefly just kind of outline what camps, there are so many different camps they have. So talk about the camp and then talk about the barbecue.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things going on this weekend. So Saturday at 11, Minnesota will have their last senior one-day camp for the year. And so at these senior one-day camps, you may ask what happens. Well, so the first part of camp is doing a bunch of combine testing. So 40s, broad jump, shuttle, bench press, vertical jump. So the staff can get a good idea of how athletic these kids are. Then at the half point, the transition point, they go pro pads. So they only put on a helmet and shoulder pads. And then they do position drills with each one of the Gopher coaches for another third of camp there. And then they end with one-on-ones. Wide receiver DBs, linebackers against running backs, and then the board drill, offensive lineman against defensive lineman. So in that 3.5 hour, four span, a lot is taking place. There's going to be probably over 120, 140 kids there. It's a lot to see. You got to stay on task. But, there's a lot of kids coming, and it should be a good time. So scheduled to come here. For Saturday's camp, there'll be four commits there. Tony Poljan, the quarterback, Phillip Howard, Carter Coughlin, and one of the Daniels twins will also be camping. One of the guys who is going to be very interesting to see what happens with is J.D. Spielman. J.D. is a wide receiver Well, I project him at wide receiver from Eden Prairie. Fans will remember he, you know, has offers from Michigan, Iowa, and Nebraska, and including the Gophers. So I believe I remember that Minnesota's offer was conditional on Spielman coming to camp so they can figure out what position they want him at, and that's exactly what he's doing. Spielman's very short. He's listed at 5'9", 5'10". I'm telling you right now, he's 5'8", and nothing more. While you know he's listed as an athlete, I cannot see Jay Sauvelle ever taking a corner under 5'9" ever again, unless he's Keontae Harden, who runs, you know, who's the Missouri 100 and 200 meter state champ, and he's explosive. But
yeah,
so JD will be there. It'll be interesting to see how he camps. There'll be a couple other guys in attendance worth noting. There's a kid named Tony Brown out of Texas. He's got a bunch of military offers from like Army, Air Force, Navy, and a couple AAC offers from like Tulsa and other schools. He'll camp at quarterback and wide receiver, see if he can do anything there. And then a couple local kids in Moses Nyangacha from Cooper. You have Nick Kramer from Wayzata, Lewis Kidd, Totino, who's a defensive lineman. So, you know, I finally get a chance to get a look at, you know, some of these kids like Tony Poljan, who I haven't seen in person yet. So, and especially the Daniels twins as well. So I'm interested to see how they camp, get a really good evaluation on them for the Gopher Digest, you know, subscribers, and then we can go from there.
Sure. All right. Well, any other guys worth noting that will be there?
I mean, not really from the senior one day. Mm-hmm. It is worth noting. So the Saturday camp will be from 11 to 3, and then that evening, Saturday evening, will be the annual recruiting barbecue. And so for fans who are unfamiliar with it, what happens is, you know, the Gopher staff puts on this barbecue type thing. It's not, you know, the good old Texas barbecue like some fans are wishing it was.
Yeah. Like
burgers, brats, you know, hot dogs, different kinds of stuff like that. The recruits and their families have to pay, because it is an unofficial event, an unofficial visit technically. And so what the staff will also do is they'll bring in all of the freshmen and sophomore class, as many as that can attend.
Sure.
So that these, you know, top targets and Gopher commits can start mingling amongst the families, amongst, you know, the different players, start building relationships with them. And it's just a way for them, you know, and the staff to get some extra time with some of these guys. So
sure.
I believe the entire 2016 class will be at the barbecue, except for Sean Foster. He had a team event come up in the last 24 hours, but the rest of the 10 will be there, so it should be a good time. And there's three guys I'd also like to talk about that are not committed that will be there. I'll start with in-state receiver. Oh, man, I hope I pronounced his last name right. Andrew Hamulewski. Quite the doozy there. So Andrew's a kid from Marshall, Minnesota, who is, I'd say, definitely one of the best athletes in the state in this 2016 class. He's a three-sport athlete. I know he's the two-time, you know, Western player, you know, Marshall's newspaper, you know, baseball player of the year.
Okay.
He plays basketball. He's a, you know, and he's a standout guy into the football field. And the backstory with him is he came to, you know, a private workout earlier in June here at camp, here on campus here. And I, you know, talked to some people who were at that workout, and a few of them just walked away saying, who is this kid? Why don't we know about him? And, you know, I've heard a couple people compare him a lot to Eric Decker. And there's been some, you know, I've heard from a couple people in the last, you know, 24 hours here that I wouldn't be shocked if Drew walks away with an offer.
Sure.
From this barbecue. He cannot come to camp because he's got a Legion baseball tournament.
Okay.
But Drew's a kid who's he's just a very good athlete. He's 6'2", 185. I heard he ran in the 4.5s at camp, and he was just really competitive, really athletic in his routes. And so I wouldn't be shocked if he left with an offer. And if he did, yeah, I think it'd be in short order that he would soon commit.
Okay.
Another guy is Georgia wide receiver DeAndre Huff. He actually committed to Miami of Ohio earlier tonight, which I think I could spend a whole podcast talking about how kids are now doing reservation commitments and not actual commitments. But
sure.
So the word is, you know, Huff committed to Miami of Ohio tonight over Indiana, Rutgers, and Minnesota. Well, that's great, but according to his coach, who told me about 4 hours ago, they're still coming up on this unofficial visit, and they're still going to go to Rutgers at the end of the month, and then they'll come back and reevaluate the decision. So,
weird.
I'm not. It's just him making sure he has a spot, I guess. But it is what it is. You know, supposedly Huff has an offer from conferring with some of the different sources of mine. I think that the offer is firmly dependent on what the staff thinks between him and Andrew this weekend. You know, which skill set do they like better? Which kid would be better for the program? Different things like that. You know, I really like DeAndre's film. He's 6 foot, 185, and he is one of the fastest kids I've seen. Just as the Gophers have offered this class, he's very explosive. He's very good at, you know, he's a very good leaper, very good at high pointing the ball. So I wouldn't be angry at all if, you know, Huff or Kamilski, you know, leaves, you know, the barbecue on Saturday night with, you know, a firm offer and they commit.
Sure.
So, and then the last guy I'll talk about that'll be at the barbecue is Antoine Winfield. Yes, Gopher fans. That Antoine Winfield, who is a phenomenal corner for the Vikings for 8 years or whatever it was, one of my favorite players. It's his son that'll actually be up here.
Okay.
So Antoine, the connection there. So Antoine actually lives in Texas now because you know, the family's moved around. So Antoine was actually an Eden Prairie kid growing up as this, you know, Winter Park, the Vikings practice facility is in Eden Prairie. Antoine, his father, played there.
Yep.
So he was in the EP system forever, became very good friends with Carter Coughlin and J.D. Spielman. And he's been up here since, I believe, Tuesday or Wednesday, visiting with those guys. So Antoine is a kid who really burst onto the Gophers' radar after he went to the Ohio State camp where his father, you know, played. And he measured in at 5'9.5". And he ran 2.43.
Whoa.
And so he's got legit speed. Unfortunately, from what he's told me, he will not be camping. I mean, the staff would love him to camp because he doesn't have an offer at this point.
Yeah.
He's got offers from Northwestern, I believe Texas Tech, and another Big Ten offer. So he's a kid with legit speed. He would fit, I mean, really well, I think, in what Minnesota wants to do. I think they're going to want to get to know him a little bit better this weekend, and which is why he's coming up here. But I wouldn't be opposed to having another Antoine Winfield in the Minnesota secondary as the last time that happened. I think things went pretty well. So
yeah, for sure.
Between all the commits and then those three guys, I think it's going to make for an interesting Saturday night, so you're going to have to stay tuned to Gopher Digest for sure.
Okay, so just real quick, how many guys do you think they'll take this in this class?
Oh, man. I think it'll probably be somewhere between 21 and 23, probably. I think they'll take I think they'll take four more defensive linemen. I think three more defensive ends and another D tackle, so that puts you at 15. I think they'll take another receiver, maybe another offensive lineman, so you're at 16. Potentially two more linebackers and potentially at least two more, you know, defensive backs, another safety, another corner. So probably around 21 is where I'd put it. And some quick guys to note for Sunday's camp. So Sunday's camp is the junior elite camp. And what that means is just the underclassmen camp. So these are going to be kids going into their junior years this year. There's a few guys that I should mention. Headlined by Lakeville South offensive lineman Eric Rousemiller. He's a kid who came to camp to the same junior elite camp when he was 15, so last year, and he's a big kid. I mean, he's a wrestler. He's a guy that I think will make a very good center. That's what he plays in high school. His highlight film was a fun one to watch, especially for a sophomore going against these senior kids. Gets a lot of pancakes, let me tell you. He's eating well. And then two more offensive linemen I think worth note are Providence Academy's Gavin Blomberg and Benilde St. Margaret's Eric Wilson. Wilson actually picked up an offer from Yale this past weekend as he was out there with his family. So he's a very smart kid. He's a kid you watch film on and you look at him and you see different, you know, photos of him. He is so far from done growing, it's ridiculous. I mean, you look at him and, you know, he's got the baby face. His frame is really, you know, stocky. And it's just, you look at him and he's like, you're not even going to be close to what you're going to look like actually when you get on campus. So, and then Blomberg is a kid who's really gone to a lot of different camps this fall and this summer, excuse me. I think he, you know, we rated him 3 stars on Scout along with Rouse Miller. He's very similar. I think they're similar players. He plays with some tenacity as a sophomore. So those three guys are definitely ones to watch. And then another defensive lineman that may be picking up an offer soon.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if he left with one would be Jermaine Johnson from Eden Prairie. It's going to be interesting to see how the staff goes with this, as Jermaine really hasn't even played a full season of varsity football yet. At Eden Prairie, you know,
yeah,
they have so much success that they really don't need to bring these kids along. So I think he's really going to blow up at defensive end his junior film once he puts it on tape. I saw him live last month at one of the senior elite camps. He came as an underclassman, and man, he was explosive. He was almost 6'4", 210 pounds, and he could really get around the edge. And he really caught the attention of the Gopher staff, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he left with an offer this weekend. So if you're looking for two guys who could potentially become the first two commitments or first commitment of the 2017 Gopher class, I'd put my money on Eric Rousemiller, as he's very good friends with the Lideners, and I think
okay.
The staff feels very highly about him, or Jermaine Johnson, the defensive end from Eden Prairie. And you have Carter there, JD's in his ear. So
okay.
It's going to be a very good weekend, I think.
Sure. All right. So I think that'll wrap it up for us. Other than one minor thing, you may be listening to this on iTunes. Congratulations, you found our iTunes page. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, you can actually listen and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Go to iTunes, in the iTunes store, search Gopher Gridiron Radio, press subscribe, and never look at a Ryan Burns tweet ever again. And you can just get them coming to your phone right away.
Absolutely, yeah. We just got everything approved through iTunes. So, again, you can either, go through the tweet I'll send out when this goes up, or you can go on the iTunes in the podcast area and search Gopher Gridiron Radio, and you should see our new logo once it gets up there. And just click subscribe so you don't have to be wondering when the next one gets, published. It'll just automatically come to your phone. And when you're on that jog or that walk, or even in traffic, you can have some nice Gopher football talk. So, again, we appreciate everything. We've had a lot of support for this, and there's some good things coming ahead. I'll just say that for sure. So, again, it should be a good weekend, and we thank you for listening.